Okay, we're going to begin here with Nazir. Just before we start the Gemara here, I just want to give a quick introduction. A lot of this will come up in the Gemara today as well as the upcoming Gemarot, but just in summary as an introduction, that we just finished Masechet Nedarim, and Nazir is a subset of the Masechet Nedarim. So if you look in the Pesukim found in Bamidbar, Perek Vav, it says, Vayidvar Hashem Moshe Lemor Debel B'nei Yisrael Amarta Elehem Ish O'ishak Yafli Lindor Neder Nazir Lazir Lashem. So you see that already Nizirut is a subset of Nidarim. Now the Gemara is going to ask this, but really there are a number of questions we have to ask about Nazir. The first of which is, why is Nazir found in Masechet or in Seder Nashim at all? Really belongs in Seder Kodshim. The major issues or the major components of Nazirut are the Karbanot that are brought. The Karbanot that are brought when a Nazir becomes Tamei, and the Karbanot that are brought when a Nazir completes his Nazirut. So the first question we have to ask about Masechet Nazir is, why is it even found in Seder Nashim? The second question we have to ask is, once we're in Seder Nashim, why, once we determine that Nazir belongs in Seder Nashim, then why is, what's the order that was chosen for Seder Nashim, and why is Nazir in the order after Nedarim before Sota? And once we've determined where Nazir fits, then we have to determine what comes after Nazir or what comes before. The Gemara here will discuss some of this, but it's found actually spread out among the different Masechtot. So just in terms of Nazir Atzmo, why is it found here in Seder Nashim? One thing that the Gemara points out is that what causes Ervat Davar? Ervat Davar is the issue or the preponderance of an issue that causes Gerushin. Ervat Davar, the Gemara claims, is generated by Shtiyas Hayayim, drinking wine. And therefore, it would be appropriate for someone to not drink wine because it may cause Ervat Davar. So Nazir, which deals with the issue of not drinking wine, that is why it's found here in Seder Nashim. Now, even more compelling of why it's found here in Seder Nashim and why it comes after Nedarim is actually found in the Gemara in Sota, which is that the Gemara in Ksubos discusses Hamadir, this Perek Hamadir, which deals with Nedarim. And therefore, after Ksubos, the Gemara puts in Nedarim, because the Ikar, or the major issue about Nedarim, are Ben Avdabito Ben Ishli Ishto. So the major issues, or the major psukim in the Torah, deal with the relationship of the father and daughter and the husband and wife. And therefore, Nedarim is found in Masechet Nashim, or in Seder Nashim, but on top of that, it comes after Ksubot because of Perek Hamadir, which is found in Ksubot. Once we've already entered into Nedarim, then we bring in Nazir, which is a subset of Nedarim. Because you're going to see the first Mishnah here in Nazir is almost identical to the Mishnah in Nedarim. And because it's a subset of Nedarim, therefore we place Nazir right after Nedarim in Seder Nashim. Now why after Nazir comes Sota? Why don't we go to Gittin or Kiddushin? Why is Sota found after that? And that comes from the famous statement that Gemara says, that Kol HaRoeh Atzud Sota B'Kilkula Yazir Atzmo Ar HaMayim. Whoever sees a Sota B'Kilkula, when she's being tested, will be Ma'azir Atzmo Min HaYayim, will restrict himself from wine. So therefore, there is a relationship between Sota and Nazir, both in the Pesukim. They're found juxtaposed in the Pesukim in the Torah and Parshat Naso, as well as the fact that because of that juxtaposition, there's a limud that a person should be mazir atzmo min hayayim when he sees a sota b'kilkula. But based on those Pesukim, sota should really precede Nazir, because both in the Parshiot Torah as well as in the limud, sota comes before Nazir. So why is it that Nazir precedes sota? And that has to do with its connection to Nidarim, because there's a subset of Nidarim as well as the continuation of Masechet Ketubot. So therefore we have the order in the Gemara, or in the Seder Nashim, of first Ketubot, then Nidarim, then Nazir, and then Sota. Just as a quick aside here, I'm going to mention a vort that I heard from Rav Goldbicht Tzal, who was the Yoshua Shiva of Karen Biavno. He says that, why does the Torah have to teach you Kol HaRoeh Sota B'Kilkula Yazir Atzmo Min HaYayim? The Gemara says that because of the juxtaposition of these two parshiot, you learn that whoever sees a Sota B'Kilkula will be Mazir Atzmo Min HaYayim. But why do you need, if the natural reaction is that someone who sees a Sota will restrict himself in wine, why do you need then the juxtaposition of the parshiot to teach you that? mean, the Gemara says that's the natural reaction of a person. So why do you need a limud to teach you that a person will should be yazir asmona mayayin? So Gorach Tzatzal said, I hope I'm quoting him correctly, that a person, when he sees something or when he experiences an event and he feels moved spiritually, a person always thinks in his mind, well, based on this, I'm going to do something or I'm going to raise myself to a spiritual level. But as the days wear on, after a person has that feeling of inspiration, it starts to peter out, and the person's unable to preserve that level of inspiration that he had at the moment, like seeing a sota b'kil kula. So if it was without the limud Torah, what would happen? A person would see a sota b'kil kula, and he'll say, ah, I'm not going to drink wine. But that would be for a day, for a week, for a short period of time, because as the days wore on, right, the moment, the inspiration of the moment would wear off, and a person would feel less compelled to be yazir atzmo minayayin. And that's what the Torah tells you here, that kol ha'ra'ah tzitzvah yazir atzmo minayayin. You should take a neder nezirut. Why? Because neder nezirut preserves that moment of inspiration for 30 days or whatever the duration of the nezirut. Meaning that the lesson or the lima that the juxtaposition teaches us is that when a person has a moment of inspiration, they shouldn't let that feeling wane. That should compel a person to continue to act and to maintain that level of inspiration. And how do you do that? Take an energy root. You do something. Take an action that will preserve for a longer duration that feeling of inspiration. So that's part one to the introduction. Part two to the introduction is that there are different types of nidre nizirut. There is a regular neder nizirut, and that's what we find in the Torah. That a person who takes a neder nizirut, we know that stam nizirut, if a person does not define the duration of nizirut, that is for 30 days. We saw that in Gemara Dvarim. We'll also see that coming up in the Gemara in Nazir. That a stam nizirut is for 30 days. There are those that argue that it's 29, but let's just assume now for 30 days. That Nazir then is restricted in yayin from drinking or grape, any grape products and wine. Cannot cut his hair, tarloy or varal v'shel, and he cannot be mitamei the meitim. He cannot become tamei meit. Then, if that nazir, if he completes nazirut b'tara, at the end of that nazirut, he has to bring three karbanot. He has to bring an olah. It has to be a keves le'olah, a kibsa for a chatat, and an ayol for shlamim. That's an olah, chatat, and shlamim, and then he cuts his hair, which he uses to cook the shlamim. That's if he completes the bitara. If a person is interrupted, becomes tamei in the middle of his nizirut, then after he becomes tohor again, he must bring three karbanot. He must bring a chatat and olah, which come from the birth, either Shnei Torim or Shnei B'nei Yonah. And he has to bring an asham nazir, and then he starts to recount or restart his neder nizirut. That's a normal neder nizirut. There happens to be two other types of nizirut. One is a nazir olam, and one is a nazir shimshon. Both of these the Gemara will deal with. I just wanted people to be aware that there are these two other types. One, a nazir olam, where a person is a nazir forever, but then has opportunities during that nizirut to cut his hair and to bring karbanot. And we'll see how much or how long the duration of that is in the Gemara coming up. And then there's something called nazir shimshon, and whether that works or what that is, again, it's subject to machlokas in the Gemara. I think that's good for right now in terms of the introduction. Now, why don't we get to the Gemara? The Mishnah starts, and it's again a Mishnah we found in the Darim, is identical to the Mishnah in the Darim. Kol kinyei nizirut kinizirut. All the kinyuim of nizirut are like nizirut. So if you remember, the Mishnah in the Darim begins this way. And what's a kinoi versus a yad? Those were the two types. There's ikar neder, then there's kinyuim, and then there's yad. Kinyuim, as we said, are the equivalent of what we call a nickname. There's something that replaces what would be the formal or regular way to utter a neder or have a nizirut come. And kinui is a way to get at that same idea, but using some sort of nickname or alternative language. And that happens to be a machlokas in the Gemara and the Dharma between Rabbi Yochanan and Melagish, whether those alternative languages are the shonumot, there are the languages of the other nations, meaning that these are words that came out of other languages. I always thought, and I think the most plausible explanation is actually they were actual Hebrew words that were adopted by these other languages, and they were altered when they entered in the language, which happens many times when we borrow words from another language, we mispronounce them when we get them, and that's what these words are. The other possibilities, what Reish Lakish says, that it's Lashon Shebadu Lahem Chachamim. These are Lashonot that the Chachamim made up in order to say a neder without using the Ikar Lashon, without using certain words. Why? because we're afraid when you use certain words that the person will come to say the Shem Shamayim Levatala. In order to prevent that from happening, we have the Chachamim came up with words to protect the person from saying the word Hashem without any reason or the Shem Shamayim Levatala. And we'll note that according to those that say that Rabbi Yochanan, that it's the Lashon HaUmot, the language of other nations, Tosfos asks over here, if that's the case, we're going to see in the Mishnah, it enumerates three or four examples of that. Why does the Mishnah only illuminate three or why does the Mishnah only discuss three examples? Why doesn't it just say, if you say it in any language, it works? I mean, that any other language besides Hebrew, if you say it, it means the same thing, then why doesn't it work? So the Tosfos actually distinguishes or differentiates between different types of Lashon HaUmot. There's Lashon HaUmot, which are mentioned in the Mishnah. These Lashon HaUmot work whether a person understands what they mean or doesn't understand what they mean. If he thinks he's doing a Neder Nezirut, that is good and sufficient. Whereas any other time, if you use languages, other languages, if you do not understand what you're saying, if you don't understand the meaning of the word, they will not be valid in terms of creating a Neder or Neder Nezirut. So, for instance, if a person takes a Neder in Hebrew and says Nazir, then if even though he doesn't understand what the words mean in Hebrew, but he understands he's taking a Neder and Neder Nezirut, that is sufficient to create the Neder and the Neder Nezirut. And the same with these Kiduim that are mentioned in the Mishnah, the Lashon HaUmot. Whereas if a person uses languages or words that he doesn't understand the meaning of, even though his intent is to be a Nazir or to create a Neder, that will not be sufficient when it does not use either the Hebrew language or the Kinyuim that are mentioned in our Mishnah. That is as far as Kinyuim are concerned. Then there's another category called Yad. Yad the Neder or Yad the Nezirut. A Yad is where a person says either a portion of the language or formal way to create a Neder and Nezirut, and we interpret that which he said to mean that he was taking on a full Neder or a full Nezirut, or he uses an alternative, what's called matpis. He uses another word, another object, in order to generate the isur that he's trying to create, and it's called the Yad L'Neder. A Kinu L'Neder, again, is a nickname, whereas a Yad is something we're extending. Now, a Yad comes from a limud. The Gemara in the Dharma has a limud to teach us that yadot work, whereas kinuyim, there is no limud in the Gemara, because kinuyim are basically the equivalent of saying the actual. It's just using a not the formal language, but using some sort of nickname to get there. So now our mission begins, Kol kininu zirot, kinin zirot. All kininu zirot are like zirot. Homer, hey, harzeh nazir. Someone says, hey, I will be this, then he is a nazir. Oh, hey, nae, or I will be beautiful, he is a nazir. This we discussed in the Gemara, these are actually not kininu, these are yadot. And why it works, we will see in the Gemara today. Nazik, naziach, paziach. These are three words that are kininu in zirot. These are words that are like the word nazir. Again, if you look in the Mefarish here, the Mefarish, what is the equivalent of Rashi here, it's noted by a number of the Mefarshim, including Rav Kiva Eger, on the Da'amud here, if you look, that this is not the parish that's in the place of Rashi, and the Zirut is actually not Rashi, it was written by someone else, and we'll refer to him in our Shir as the Mefarish. So the Mefarish over here on the side says that if you just look at the letters and the words, then a slight change of one of the letters will get you back, I mean, Nazik is like Nazir, they just add in a line for the Kuf. Naziach is like Nazir, so they add in a line to make the Ches. So these are small variations on the word Nazir. Alright, Harizeh Nazir. These Kinuim work to be a Nazir. Harini Kazam like this. Harini Mitzalsel. Harini Mitchalkel. He says, I'm playing with my hair, or Sustain Hari Alai, Lishalech Para, I will grow my hair out. Harizeh Nazir. All of these are Nazir. Again, this won't be today's daf, it'll be tomorrow's daf, we'll discuss why these work to be a Nazir. Hare alai tzipurim, if he says that I am a kabal birds, amir of meomer nazir. Mir says that's the equivalent of taking on a nezirut, komir meno nazir. Again, we won't discuss that today. We'll leave that for discussion in the Gemara on tomorrow and the next day. All right, now the Gemara says, miftei, pana b'seder nashim kayis. This goes back to our introduction here. We are in the middle of seder nashim. So why is nazir found here in the middle of seder nazir? My time out on a nazir. So what is he doing with Nazir here? Tana Krokoi! The Tana is relying on a pasuk. It says, V'ya'im lo tamseh chen beinav ki masa ba eder vatavar. Why does a person get divorced from his wife? Because if he doesn't find chen, she doesn't find chen in his eyes, because he finds their vatavar, he finds something wrong. V'achi kamar, mi garam lo, who caused such an ervatavar? La'vera ya'im, that he causes the wine. So again, Tosfos points out that this is our first stage. The first stage is asking, why is Nazir found in Seder Nashim? Because wine is a large cause of divorce, because wine causes ervat avar, and since wine causes ervat avar, it ends up in divorce. And therefore, yayin, or things that deal with yayin, are relevant to Seder Nashim. Vika Amar. And in addition to that, it says, we have a limud, kolorea sota, bikilkula yazir atzmo minayayin. Everybody sees the sota when she is being tested and being brought up in the Mikdash and being denigrated, not or being put into a position which is a compromising situation, will be yazir atzmo minayayin. You'll say, no way, I don't want to drink wine because wine causes this type of behavior. So what does this teach us? This teaches us, why is Nazir here found next to Sota? The last piece of the puzzle, which is not found here, but it's actually found in the Gemara Sota, is why is Nazir then either before Sota or after Nidarim? And that we discussed in the introduction again, because there's Ksubot Perek Hamadir, then we have Nidarim. Because in Nidarim we have the subset called Nazir, so then after Nazir we have Sota instead of Kitin, because Sota is related because of this Limud to Nazir. So now the Gemara asks the same question it asked in Nidarim. Patach b'kinuim u'mefaresh adot. The Mishnah starts, ko kinin izirut, kin izirut. We're talking about kinuim. And then it gives examples of yadot. Omer yehei, or is a nazir? A hey, I will be like that. It's not a kinoi, that's a yad. That's something that implies maybe that he wants to be a nazir. So why are you starting with kinuim and then moving over to yadot? Amarava, v'itaymak kadi. So Rava says over here, and some people say it's just a Sama Gemara, Kadi, or Kadi is the name of a Chacham. Suri Machsura, then we're actually missing words here. Ach, Tani, the Mishnah really begins. Kol Kini Zirut, Kini Zirut. V'yadot Nizirut, Kini Zirut. Means that there's two actually sections to the Mishnah. There's the introduction, or the headings of the Mishnah, or there is Kinoi Nizirut, or like Nizirut. Yadot Nizirut, or like Nizirut. V'helein Yadot. And then it gives us examples of Yadot. Omer Hei, Harezan Nizir. So then it gives us examples of Yadot. So the Gemara asks, really, Fushe Knuye Bereisha. So why don't we explain the Kinuim first? If the header or the general position of the Mishnah started out Kinuim Yadot, then we should explain Kinuim first and then Yadot. Why do we do the header have Kinuim Yadot and then we go to Yadot to explain? So the Gemara says, Tarumi, how the Solik, how Mefarish Bereisha. So that whatever we finish with, I mean, the general heading says Kinuim, then Yadot. Oh, we just discussed Yadot. Let us finish up the Sugya of Yadot, and then we'll move back to Kinuim. Okay, it's not. And we have examples of this throughout Mishnayot. Mishnayot Shabbat, Vamem Adikim, Uvamayim Lamekim. Right? We say this every Friday night. Like, what do we light with, or what do we not light with? Faresh. And what's the first thing the Mishnah enumerates? Ein Malekim. Faresh. So that which I left off with in the general klal, it goes out into Mefaresh. Vame Tomnim, Vame Tomnim. Again, in Shemar and Shabbos, what are you allowed to do Hatzmana with? What are you not allowed to do Hatzmana with? Mefaresh, Ein Tomnim, Beresh. And then it goes on to give examples of what you're not allowed to do Hatzmana with. Vame Yisha Yotso, Vame Neo Yotso. What can a woman wear out in the Rishut Rabin? What can she not wear? And then Mefaresh, Lotei Tse Yisha. And then it goes on to give examples of what a woman may not wear. Bereisha, first. So all these examples, you have a general header that says one item, then the next. And then when the Mishnahs go to explain, they start off in the second position, or the second thing mentioned in the Mishnah. But it's not where it says, well, you left out one Mishnah in Shabbos that doesn't do that. It says, Bambam Behema Yotza, Bambamena Yotza. What does an animal go out with? Or what does an animal not go out with? And then afterwards it says, well, first, Yotze Gamal Bereisha. And then he explains what he does go out with. So it goes back to the first part of the general koteret of that parak. So, yesh nochlim amanchilim. There are those that inherit who do not give over to others. Nochlim below yochlim umanchilim. I'm sorry, the first case is where the person inherits and he's able to pass back. Meaning that there's a two-way street in terms of Yerusha. Nochlim below manchilim. There are those that inherit below manchilim. I'm sorry, nochlim below manchilim, those that inherit but do not give back, mean that the person who gives to them will not inherit from them. Manchilim below nochlim, those that give but do not receive. Below nochlim below manchilim, some people are not related at all and will not pass back and forth. Mufarish, elu nochlim manchilim bereisha. And yet it goes back to the koteret, the first part of the koteret, first part of the general principle, and it starts to explain it. It doesn't go with the one that it ended off with, it goes one to start. Elo lam tani hachim tani hachim. The conclusion of the Gemara is that the Mishnayot have no standard. Some Mishnayot begin, and some go have a general koteret header, and then they go back to the first item in the header, and there are others that in the header, they continue off from the second item in the header. So from there, we have no proof. Ella Hotam. Ah, so why over there by Behemoth, do is it switch? I mean, the Gemara and Shabbos, all the Mishnayot follow one pattern, and yet by Behemoth, it switches to the other pattern. Ella Hotam, these Surah Denafshe, who Mefarish. All right, Mefarish Yisurah Denafshe Bereisha. All right, so over there, by the cases of what a woman goes out with, or by Memalikin, or Memetomnim, that's talking about the individual himself. That's the malachot of, or a person who would be violating Shabbos. When it comes to violating Shabbos, that would be an Easter Kares or an Easter Korban. So with that, the Gemara describes, what you don't go out with first. All right, Gabi Behema, but by an animal, Yisur, the Yisur, I did the Behema, who, that's the Mepharshid Derebereisho. By a behema, it's not the violation of the individual. Even though he's responsible to have his animal not do work on Shabbos, and if his animal does work on Shabbos, it's an isur lav, it's an isur, it's not, but in that case, he won't be chayiv kares, and he won't be b'shogei chayiv a korban, so it's a lesser form of isur. Since it's a lesser form of isur, there the Gemara, the Mishnayos explained first that which is mutar, and then went back to that which is restricted. So the Gemara based on that explains the difference in the Mishnayos and Shabbos. In general, the Mishnayos and Shabbos use a header, and when the header ends, then they continue from that end of the header. What the end of that header is what you can't do, because in Shabbos there's a chomer punishment, which is kares if it's bemezid, and or skilin kares bemezid, and shogeg is a korban. But by behema on Shabbos, there is a restriction, but that restriction is only in Easter lav. Since it's a lighter restriction, in that case, the Mishnah has changed the order and said, Behema, Behema, Yotza, Behema, Ena, Yotza. The header read, what can it go out with, can't go out with. And then when it went into the details, it says, what an animal can go out with. Since the restriction or the sewer is not of such gravity, therefore, the Mishnah has went back to the original part of the header and explained what the animal can go out with. Now, in the second, and Gabe, Nachlin, by the Nachol, Nachla, why does the Mishnah over there change the order? But yeah, Yishnochlim, Naminim, Mepharish, Ikar, Nachla, Bereshah. By the Mishnayot, by Nachla, the Gemara wants to explain, what's the Ikar Nachla? Ikar Nachla in the Torah is between a parent and a son. So it's between a parent and a son, right? That's Nochlin Umanchilin. That's a two-way street. So that's what the Mishnah wanted to, after it enumerated in the header, it went to explain that category first. So now, the Gemara in the Nedarim actually gives a different answer. Gemara in the Nedarim, which has the exact same Gemara, says that Avshe Milsa. When there was a lot to deal with, then the Gemara did not enumerate them. So what is Avshe Milsa there? The Gemara there's two possibilities, and we're showing what Avshe Milsa means. Either that the Koteret has a lot of options in it, has a lot of different categories in it. Since it has a lot of different categories in it, it goes back to the original category, whereas in the cases where there's only two categories, it finishes off from the one that is it just ended off with. Or Avshe Milsa means that there's a lot of halachot. I mean, since there are a lot of halachot related to that issue, it went to that issue first. Here, the Gemara gives a different answer. Now, the Gemara is based on this going to say, Elohacha, but what about our Mishnah over here? Lifshurushe kinuyim v'resha. Why don't we explain kinuyim v'resha? Meaning that we don't have either, in our case over here, why don't we start, we don't have the reasons that the Gemara and Shabbos to switch around. So, if it says kinuyim and then yadot, why don't we go to explain kinuyim first? Elohainu Tam, Yadot. So this is the reason that it explains Yadot first, because Hova Achim Le Midrasha Chavimimle. Since we said Kinuyim are not learnt out of a drasha, they are just a replacement for what the Ikar Neder is, and therefore you don't need a drasha for that. If it works as a replacement, then it's good. Whereas Yadot is something that we get from a drasha in the Pasuk, that even though you didn't say the whole formula, or you didn't say the whole item that creates the nether, nevertheless we consider it like a nether. That you need a limud from the Torah for. Since it comes from a libud, the chamim or the mishnah, so the Baal Mishnah wanted to put that first. So where it says liftach b'hom bereisha. So then, if that's the case, why don't you say yadot nether, then kinuyei nether in the header, and then start off with the yadot? Why do you start off with kinuyim, then go to yadot and explain yadot because it's chalimin? If that's the case, make them first in both instances, both in the header and in the explanation. So where it says tanaki matzil b'ikar karbon. When the Tana began, he began with the Ikar Neder. Ikar Neder is either the formula we know, or Kinuyim. Kinuyim, which are a replacement for the, it's just an alternate way to say the Ikar Neder. Well, the Indian Perusha Mepharish, when it comes, it came to detailing out everything, then Yadot Perusha goes to explain Yadot, because Yadot are Chavim and Lay, because they come from a Drusha. All right, so now, just as an aside there, the Gemara actually continues in Nidarim. In Nidarim it says, this works well according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Kinuyim are Lashon Umot, because then they are a replacement for, they are part of Ikar Karban. But according to Rachel Lakish, who says that Kinuyim are Lashon Shibadu Chachamim, are Lashon that the Chachamim made up, then they're not part of Ikar Neder, they're not part of Ikar Karban. So how does Rish Lakish explain the order of our Mishnah? So the Gemara answers up in Nidarim that the Mishnah is Chasurei Mechzer, is missing words. It's missing Yadot. Yadot are not found in the Mishnah at all, in the Koteret. So why did you assume that Chasurei Mechzer meant that there's Kinuim? We're missing words that should say Yadot in the header. And then we continue to explain Yadot. Why don't you just do it the other way around? Yadot first. That's what's missing from the Mishnah is the Yadot before Kinuim. So it'll be Yad Neder Kineder. And Yadot Neder Kineder, or Yadot Neder Nazir Kinazir, and then Kinuye Nazir Kinazir. So why do you have to make the order Kinuim and then Yadot in the header? You can make the order Yadot and then Kinuim if it's Chasurei Mechzer. So that's Reish Lakish's answer. So already your Chasurei Mechzer, put it where you want. I would say that in general, the Gemara doesn't go in that direction, and why Rabbi Yochanan would not say such and comes up with all these alternative answers is because generally when we say Chasurei Mechzer, their words are missing. You would say words that are missing when it's in the middle of something, in the middle of a paragraph, in the middle of a Mishnah. To say that the first words of the Mishnah were missing, that is much harder to say. Now, just as an aside, Tosfos points out, and other Rishonim there point out, that if Reish Lakish says that it's Lashon Shebadu Chacham, and these are Lashonos that made the Chacham made up, why is it that you can bring a Karbanos on this? Here, by Nazir, a person can become a full-fledged Nazir and bring Karbanot in the Mikdash, because he had a Neder Nazirut based on these kinuim, which are something that the Chachamim made up. So what you have to say is that when a person uses a Yad L'Neder, that based on what the Chachamim said, that creates, or once the Chachamim established this as a methodology or formula for creating Nizirut, that what she says becomes a full-fledged Nizirut. And that, yes, the Chachamim created the vehicle by which you can create a Neder or create a Neder Nizirut, but once they created it, that what you do, or the action that you take, is an action d'oraisa. It's no longer a rabbinic action, but a Torah-right action. So now, the next sugya, Omer Ahei Harei Zeh Nazir. So the first example in our Mishnah is Ahei. Ahei is a Yad Neder, and that's why we've been discussing until now, why is the Mishnah discussing Yadot at all? So why is Ahei, I will be, Harei Zeh Nazir? So Mar says, why is it obvious that he's a Nazir? Dilma Ahei B'Tanit Kamar. Maybe saying, I will be in a Tanit. Why do we have to say that I'll fast? Who says that he's a Nazir? Maybe he wants to be a Nazir. Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel says, it's Gon Shaya Nazir Over Lefanav, that there's a Nazir in walking in front of him. So when he says, I will be, it means obvious, or it's Mukhach from the context, right? It's obvious from the context. So when he says, I will be, it means I will be a Nazir, not I will be Tanit. So Gemara says, Lemer Chasavar Shmuel Yadayim Shein Mokichot Lavin Yadayim. There's something called a Yad. A Yad and Nether is something, right, that extends the Nether, where it's not obvious what you're saying because you don't say the complete formula. And despite not saying the complete formula, we nevertheless say that you have a Nether or have an Nizirut. So over here, if you were to say a Hey, all right, without any Nazir walking in front of you, we wouldn't know in that case what you were talking about. Are you talking about a Tanis or are you talking about a Nazir? So Shmuel requires to have a Nazir walking in front of you in order to be mochiach, to prove or make it obvious from the context that you want to be a Nazir. And this happens to be a machlokas, whether yadayim shein mochichot, when you have a yad, when it's unclear what the definition or what the explanation of what you said is, right? There are some that say yadayim shein mochichot lo havyandayim, that it's not considered a good yad, that you need context to create the yad. Or there are others that say that even without the context, the Yad will create a good Neder and a good Nazirut. From this we can prove, and even though we've heard from Shmuel in the Gemara in Kedushin, it seems like Shmuel says otherwise. From here, it seems like Shmuel requires the Nazir to walk in front of him in order to create the Yad Nazirut here. So the Gemara says, Amrei, Bizman Shin Nazir Over Lefanav, when there's a Nazir walking from him, Lekha Lesvuka Bimil Sachrina. There's nothing else that we could consider. The context makes it so obvious that it must be what? It must be that he's taking in his youth. Aval, if they ain't Nazir over Lefanav, but if you don't have a Nazir walking in front of him, Dilma Ahei B'Tanit Kamar, but there's a Nazir not walking in front of him, it's not even a Yad anymore. So based on this, the Tosfos comes up with actually three different types of categories when it comes to Yadot. There are three levels of Yadot. There's a Yad that is what's called a Yad Mochiach. A Yad where it's obvious from the context what you mean or what you're trying to imply. So that everybody agrees that Yad Mochiach works. When it's so obvious from the context what you're trying to do or what you're trying to accomplish, then that Yad is a good Yad. There's also another type of Yad where it's so unclear what you mean, meaning that it's not obvious at all and it's actually a Yad She'en Mochiach Klal. I mean, it's not even considered a Yad. It's not a Yad because this word can be interpreted in so many different ways that it's impossible to say that what you said had any meaning. And that's a Yad She'enu Mechiach Klal. It's a Yad that has no relevance to any category, or has no relevance to whatever you're trying to accomplish, because it's such a ambiguous term that you're using. And that's Yad Sheinah Mochiach, and everybody will agree in that case that it doesn't work. A Yad doesn't work. There's an in-between category, which is a Yad, where the preponderance of evidence by that Yad is that you're going, that you meant a certain thing, but it's not obvious. I mean, there are alternatives, but it's not Muchach. I mean, it's not obvious in the sense that there's no other way to interpret it. But on the other hand, there is enough evidence to suggest that that's probably what you mean. And that's when Yadot Sheinah Mochiach. Yadot Sheinah Mochiach, and that's where we have a machlokas, where Yad Sheinah Mochiach, whether it is having Yadayin or lo having Yadayin. And that's what the Gemara is answering over here. Shmuel, right, Shmuel in general might hold, Tosfos brings actually two possibilities, what Shmuel really holds in other cases. Shmuel could either hold by Yadayin Sheinah Mochiachot, when it's not obvious, but there is preponderance of evidence that Shmuel could hold, either that it is having Yadayin or it's not having Yadayin. But in our case over here, right, if there's no Nazir walking in front of him, Ehei is a meaningless term. It's so ambiguous that it won't do anything. Whereas on the other hand, when there's a Nazir walking in front of him, that context makes it so obvious that it's already a Yad Mochiach. So there's actually none of that in-between category where the Machlokas of Yad Sheinah Mochiach comes up. And that's what the Mishnah is discussing here. Now, the Gemara says, well, even if a Nazir is walking in front of him, maybe Behei is not so obvious that he is trying to create a neder nezirut, right? Maybe he's saying, "V'dilma lefotro meaning karbonotav." Maybe this guy is being a generous guy, and he's trying to tell you, say that the nazir is walking in front of him. You know what? I'll take when you go to cut your hair, and you're at the end of your nezirut, and you want to bring your karbonot. I'll bring them. I'll pay for your karbonot. Basically, he's donating the karbonot on behalf of the nazir. So who says that when he says that, "Hey, I will be," means I want to be a nazir? Maybe it says, "I will take care of the karbonot for you." So Gemara says, the Kamar Belibo, he tells us that's what he meant when he said, hey, I meant to be a Nazir. So he, okay, my lememro, then if it's so obvious, meaning that he both wants to be a Nazir, he's telling us that's what he meant, plus there's a Nazir walking in front of him, what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? So Gemara says, Mao Dezeim Vinyan Pi Belibo Shavim, that we need his heart and his, what he verbalizes to be equal, Kamash Malon, that even though there might be alternative explanations to that, which he said, if he tells us that in his heart, that's what he meant, we say that is sufficient. I will point out here that this is this actually comes up in an important Tosfos in Gimel and Bet. We'll discuss it tomorrow. But there's a Tosfos in Gimel and Bet which says that by Nedarim and Nezirut, there's actually a difference. We have learned in the Gemara Nedarim that we actually learned that if a person tells us what he meant by his Neder, we assume he's right. As long as there's a remote possibility that that word that he said meant that, we say if he tells us that's what he meant, we believe him. So why don't we say the same thing here by Nezirut? Why over here, all of a sudden, there's a requirement, if he says that's what I meant, and his words were not exact, we would even think that it wouldn't be a Nizirut. So Tosfos says that Nizirut is actually a little different than Nedarim. Why? Because since Nizirut is Chamira and Trichale, that's what Tosfos calls it, it's a very Chomor status, it's a very stringent status, and Trichale, it's a big burden on a person. So we're not going to assume, we're going to do everything in our power to assume that a person does not take on a Neder Nizirut, which means Safek Nizirut HaHakel. That's the principle that's brought up in the Mishnayot. That in general, when you have a Safek Nizirut, Safek Nizirut, we go to HaHakel. We don't assume that you made a Neder Nizirut. And based on that, Tosfos says, that's why you need people to be able to shove him here. That not only do you need him to tell us that's what he meant, but that which he expressed in his language has to be more than at least 50-50 or maybe even a preponderance evidence that would be a Neder Nizirut. So therefore, if he says something that does not sound like Nizirut, even if he tells us in his heart that's what he meant, we're going to assume that's not a neder nizirut. And that's the conclusion of the Gemara over here. What? Maybe you would need pivalibo shavim, because even though he says, I want to be a nazir, but because he expressed it through a hey, which could be either a tanis or a nazir, maybe we would say that's not sufficient to create a neder nizirut. Kamashvan, since it's at least 50-50, maybe even more provenance of evidence that he wants to be a nazir because there's a nazir walking in front. The photomina carbonos versus to be a nazir. Since there's a nazir walking in front of him and he tells us that's what he meant, since it's 50-50 plus he tells us that, we say he is a nazir. But if it wasn't 50-50, if it was only, a small chance that's what he meant through his words, had he not told us that, then we assume he's not a nazir. We'll explain that tomorrow and give him a bed, but that tells us we'll get more into that. Why don't we stop here?